It's good to be with you today as we come to worship God and become aware of the sad news in the community. And we do pray for the family at this time to know God's comfort and blessing in these days. And we look to God today as we come to worship. We seek his blessing over us and his word to us. And we're going to begin by singing to his praise in Psalm 100, the Scottish Psalter version of the psalm, Psalm 100. And it's the first version of the psalm. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, and serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. We'll sing the whole of this psalm to God's praise. Come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we come to bow in your presence today as you are a holy God, worthy of worship and praise. We thank you, Lord, that as we come to draw near to you, that you have promised to draw near to us. And as we seek you, Lord, we seek your presence, your comfort, your peace over us as a people and upon us as a people, as your people around the world today. We thank you for these words we've sung. They remind us, Lord, that we are to be a people and nations of praise, that you call us, Lord, to come and worship you. But we know in the world in which we live that there is many people and places where there is so little desire to even acknowledge you as God. They have their own gods in this world, and maybe we are guilty of that ourselves, that we make idols out of things in this world that come between us and you. But we pray, Lord, that your word will soften our hearts. We thank you that your word is an enduring word, a word that stands the test of time, for it is built upon you as its foundation, and Christ our Saviour as its cornerstone. And we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, that even today we come, not in our own strength, but seeking your presence with us through your Spirit, to be with us in a mighty way, and to bring your word powerfully to us. For we look to our only hope in life and death, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And as we come to you to worship you this day, we are aware, Lord, of those who need you in particular ways, and especially with the sad news this morning of the passing of Choppy. We do commit his family, all of them, into your care at this time, and the congregation as a whole, and all this community and his many friends far and wide. We pray, Lord, your great comfort and your presence to be upon all at this sad time, recognizing too, Lord, that so often things come unexpectedly, Lord, but it's all in your plan and purpose. Whether we think of our own communities or far and wide and throughout our world, Lord, and the situations that we see around us that can so concern us and trouble us, and we think of particular places and people today, such as the Ukraine and many parts of the Middle East, many parts of Africa and the Far East too, Lord, where there's wars and terror and persecution of your people, far and wide. We so often ask the question, why in all of these things? But we thank you that as we look to so many of the Psalms and look to your word, we are reminded that you give us the reason, Lord, that it belongs to you, that it's not for us to decide what and when should happen, but Lord, it is in your time and in your will. And so, Lord, help us to even pray today, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to be a people who lean upon you, who put our trust in you, who look to you for all our good and all our needs, that we would find them in our Lord Jesus Christ. And especially as we think of this time of year when we remember his coming into this world for sinners, but the ultimate purpose that he came to lay down his life, to give his life as a ransom for many, that we would know that even in this world when there are many troubles, we can know his peace as we put our trust in him. And through faith in Christ, we have that hope of eternal life. And we do pray, Lord, that we will come to know that great peace and that wonder of that amazing grace that Jesus would come and die for sinners such as we are. So, Lord, bless your word to us as it's preached, not just here, but throughout every pulpit today, that your word will go out with power, that you will bless it to your end and to your cause throughout the world. We thank you that the promise is it will not return to you empty or void, but accomplish every purpose for which you send it forth. So, Lord, bless us, we pray. Continue with us. As the young ones here, we thank you for them. Thank you for this time of holiday, and pray your blessing refresh children and teachers and parents too, that we get a time out from work and different things, and time to enjoy family time and time with friends as well. So we ask your blessing on us. Go before us now and forgive all our sin. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to see young ones here, and perhaps there's some tuning in online as well. Are you enjoying your holidays? Are you enjoying a bit of time off just now? It's nice to get a break from school, isn't it? And you've been busy this week. You're just resting and relaxing all week. It's been kind of a funny week weather-wise anyway, hasn't it? It's not been nice to get out and about to do much because the weather's been so cold. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you tell me, with it being holiday time, what did you get for Christmas?
My Little Pony Play-Doh.
Excellent. You can remember. That's great. Can anybody else remember what they got for Christmas? You think to yourself, why on earth are you asking me what I got for Christmas? Because it's not the Christmas holiday, is it? No. It's. You look outside, Ian, as I was driving up here from Shrubs this morning, I was seeing the Harris Hills covered in snow. You're thinking to yourself, it could be Christmas. The weather's been so cold. Snow and hail showers. It could almost be Christmas, but it's a strange question to ask, what did you get for Christmas? Because it's not Christmas holidays, it's Easter holiday. Well, this morning in the service, we're going to be actually tying these two together. We're not just going to be thinking about Easter holidays, we're going to be thinking about Christmas as well. And the reason I ask, what did you get for Christmas, was to see if you can remember what you got for Christmas. Because when we're coming to the Christmas holidays, we very often get excited about things. We look forward to Christmas holidays. We look forward to getting our presents, and we look forward to opening them and maybe playing with new toys and things like that. We look forward to Christmas. But what happens is, so often, we soon forget what we got for Christmas. The excitement sort of goes away and we forget what we had for Christmas. And then we just don't think about it anymore. But there's a psalm in the Bible that says this to us. In Psalm 103 and verse 2. It's a psalm about looking to God and trusting God and blessing God for everything that he's done for us. And in verse 2 it says this: "Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee." So the psalmist is talking about not forgetting everything that God has done for us. We can easily forget what we got for Christmas, but we remember what happens, what do we remember at Christmas time? What's the main story that we're thinking about at Christmas time? The birth of who? Jesus. The birth of Jesus. We remember the birth of Jesus, but we don't want to forget about that. And especially as we come to Easter, we realize not just was he born into this world, but we remember that Jesus died in this world for us. And that's the amazing story the Bible tells us, that Jesus came to save us, his people. So as we trust in him, we know that we are safe with him. So we don't forget all his gracious benefits, everything that he has done for us. We are to remember what he has done for us, not just at Christmas or at Easter, but every day, whether it's a holiday day or a school day or whatever we're doing, we'll always remember how good God has been to us, and to thank him for every gift, and especially that he gave us his son, Jesus. Well, I think we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer together now. So I don't know if we say that together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to read together now God's word in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians, we're taking up our reading in chapter 1, reading at verse 15, and reading down into chapter 2, down to verse 10. So Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen, and may God bless that reading from his word. We'll again sing to God's praise, this time in Psalm 34, in the Sing Psalms version. Psalm 34, we're going to sing from verse 1 to verse 9. At all times I will bless the Lord. I'll praise him with my voice, because I glory in the Lord. Let troubled souls rejoice. We'll sing from verse 1 to 9 to God's praise. To bow our heads in prayer as we approach God's word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray you continue with us as we come to open up your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have that invitation in the psalm we've just sung to come and taste and see. The Lord is good, who trusts in him is blessed. And we pray, for your word to reach into our hearts and souls today, that we will taste of your goodness and know your great mercy, your grace towards us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who speaks. You are never silent, even though we are a disobedient people so often. You still call us to come to you. We pray we'll hear your voice and that we'll come to follow you today and in the days ahead. We do pray for the congregation here, Lord, continue to bless them, to uphold them day by day. We pray for Thomas and Phil as they preach week by week. We pray for their families, Lord, may you bless them and be with them day by day, that they will be refreshed in time of holiday just now and as they come back into the busyness of ministry and all it entails. We pray for your encouragement towards them, that they will see, O Lord, fruit for their labours. We pray for elders and deacons and members and adherents here too, that there will be a spirit of prayer and unity among all, to see your goodness in this place, to see your spirit moving powerfully. Lord, that is our longing and desire, to see you come in your power, to visit us as communities and peoples far and wide, to know the power of your reviving spirit. So, Lord, we continue to look to you, and you alone are able to bless. So we cry to you as our Lord and as our God. Come and come in your power. So hear us now in all our prayers and receive our thanks and forgive our sin. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to together look at the second half of our reading, if you like, going into chapter 2 of Ephesians. And these verses, verse 1 to 10, which speak about the wonder of the grace of God. We read in verse 8 there, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." We cannot save ourselves. We learn that as we're going on in life, maybe. Perhaps we still need to learn that lesson. We think we can do good ourselves. We can think we can manage life in our own way and have control over our life. And yet we come to a point where we realize actually we have no power in and of ourselves. But we thank God that he gives us his word. And it's a word that speaks powerfully to us and reminds us that in him we have power. We have power through his grace, through his love towards us in Christ Jesus. Maybe some of you enjoy doing jigsaw puzzles. From time to time, if I get a chance, sometimes with the children, we like to get a jigsaw puzzle and start working on it together. And sometimes you may enjoy doing a jigsaw puzzle. There's a great sense of achievement and joy when you're making progress. Other times it can be a real sense of frustration. You might be able to get the outside part, the edge, all together and start filling in the easy bits in the middle, the bits that come together more quickly. But with so many jigsaw puzzles, you find that a large part of it is maybe the sea or the sky or trees. And everything looks the same. And trying to fit all the pieces together can become more and more difficult as you're going on. And the picture in the jigsaw isn't complete until the very last piece is put in. And in some ways, the Bible can be like that for us too. In many ways, our lives can sometimes seem to be a jigsaw puzzle, where for a time, everything seems to be coming together. And even as we're looking at the Bible, things in it, they seem to make sense to us. We can understand great big parts of it. We can understand the outline of it. We can understand parts as it's all coming together. But the more you're going on, sometimes the more difficult it becomes to just piece everything together. And the hardest part is often getting the last piece to fit, to get it all to come together. And when we think of this passage and the scriptures as a whole and what the scriptures are saying to us, one of the hardest parts of life is to have complete trust in the Lord. To let go of everything that we are trying to do ourselves, to let go of the power and authority that we feel we have and the control we seemingly have of our lives, to let go and to recognize apart from God, we can do nothing. And that last piece of the jigsaw is so often faith. Faith. Now maybe today you say, but I have faith. I believe in God. I believe that God sent his Son into this world, Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners. And you have all these pieces that are coming together. But you have that last piece, that one last piece, where it is faith in its entirety. Just that willingness to put yourself over to God completely. So much you may have today, but is there still that one piece missing? Well, here in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul is preaching to them here and reminding them of the completeness of life in God. That apart from him, really we have no life. To try and live our life and compartmentalize in that way of saying, I'll have control over this and I'll give this to you, Lord, but I still want to be able to do my part. It's to abandon all of that and to put ourselves fully over to God. That's what Paul is saying to the Ephesians here. It is by grace you are saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing. He's very clear here. This is not your own doing. This is the gift of God. And what an amazing gift it is. And so here, Paul is really bringing together so many different parts of Scripture. So many different parts of the teaching of the Word of God, both Old and New Testament. He's reminding of the complete picture here, that one last piece missing is faith, to believe the Word of God. And as we think of this time of year and this holiday week ahead, and a week today being Easter Sunday, a time when we remember in particular, in a more focused way if you like, but always focusing on Christ and the cross, but this is a particular time of year when it's there for us to really look on and to ask ourselves that question today: how am I alive? What am I alive for? And who is it that is giving me life? Paul here speaks about us being made alive together with Christ by grace. He says that in verse 5. We were made as alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. As I was saying to the children earlier on, I want us today to tie together the two main holidays that we think of in the Christian calendar, the Christmas holiday and the Easter holiday. And the Christmas holiday, we remember the birth of Christ and the wonder of that. But what we see is, as we look further on in his life and to his death, we see the two cannot be separated. They are linked together. And as you think of the great passages that speak of the birth of Jesus, such as, for example, in Luke chapter 2, where we read of the shepherds hearing the angels coming with his message to them about the birth of Jesus, and the wonder of it all as they heard that God sent a Savior into the world, and the way it affected them, it filled them with joy. We think of the birth of Jesus, and how does that tie in to the message that we have here in Ephesians chapter 2? Well, in Luke chapter 2, the account of the shepherds tells us three different things, mainly. It says, first of all, to you a Savior is born. And then the second thing in Luke's gospel, it tells us that the shepherds heard good news. And then the third thing it tells us in that passage is that having gone to see for themselves the Christ who was born, they went away rejoicing. And I want to consider that in light of what we have here in Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul's teaching to them here of how blessed they are in Christ. In his birth, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, in the eternal hope of salvation, eternal life with him. And there's three things that tie in with the birth of Jesus and we can marry together with the death of Jesus today is these three things in Ephesians 2. First, all have sinned. The second thing is grace is the cure. And the third thing is to be alive in Christ is the outcome of this grace. So the first thing is all have sinned. And again, when you go back to the birth of Jesus, and you look at the likes of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel there speaks to Joseph and gives him a word. And he says to Joseph, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That was the birth of Jesus. But what did the death of Jesus accomplish? Well, it was the fulfillment of that. He will save his people from their sins. And so what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 2, in order to show the people the great blessings that is theirs in Christ, he takes them back to a previous time in their lives. And he speaks to them about what they once were. And he speaks powerfully to them about what they once were. In verse 1, he says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's how clear it is. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And that's the reality for us all. In our sin, we are dead. We're not alive. We might think we're in control of our lives and we think we've got direction in our lives. Got our lives planned, everything sorted for the way ahead, but the reality is that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And that's the reason why God sent his Son into this world. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is why he sent his Son into the world. We needed saving from our sins. Paul shows the nature of the problem lies with all. He is speaking here about you were dead. He's saying you Gentiles, you were dead. But he's not saying that in the sense that, oh, but there were others who have always been alive. There are others who are better people. We can so often put people into categories ourselves and think, well, that's a good person. They're much better than I am or ever will be. But if you were to ask them what they really think of themselves, they would probably say, no, I'm just like you. If they don't, well, they have to start looking at themselves in a different way because there is none who are good. We are all sinners in the eyes of God. And Paul outlines that here as well. He goes from saying, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. In verse 3 he says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. That there is no one category or two categories in that sense of them and us. Paul is saying we're all the same. All of us have sinned. We are all like each other. It doesn't matter who we look at or where in the world, we are all in God's eyes sinners. But the good news is that that's the reason he sent his Son into the world. Romans says we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. The talk just now so often is who's had COVID and who hasn't. It's amazing how even in one household, so many people in one household can get it and yet one person might be left out. They don't get it. It's amazing in that sense, and it goes around. Some people haven't had it at all. Some people are getting it second, third, and even fourth time. It's something we cannot understand in many ways. And yet, if we were to speak together about ourselves in the way we speak about COVID and ask ourselves, are you a sinner? Have you sinned? No one could say, well, no, I haven't yet. Well, I've sinned 2 or 3 or 4 times. It's not the way we speak about sin at all, because there's no one that could say, well, I haven't sinned. I haven't had that problem yet. I hope I never do, because it's unavoidable. We are sinners, and there's no getting away from it. We sin, as we say, in thoughts and words and actions. Every day of our lives, we fall short of the glory of God. If we think otherwise, we're thinking wrongly. And we can so often be dismissive of sin. We can make a joke about sin. We can laugh about sin. And we forget just how serious a problem it is. There was a young boy who was listening to a minister preaching. And he started speaking to him after the service. He'd been preaching on sin. So the young boy started asking him questions. One of the questions he asked was, you say that unsaved people carry a weight of sin. But he said, I feel nothing. So how heavy is sin? Is it 10 pounds? Is it 80 pounds? No, just how heavy is sin? How much of a burden should I really feel if I was a sinner? Well, the preacher replied, saying to the boy, if you laid a 400-pound weight on a dead person, would it feel that load? The young boy replied quite quickly, quite smartly, it would feel nothing because it's dead. Well, the preacher said then, the spirit is dead, which feels no load of sin, or is indifferent to it, to its burden, and is flippant about its presence. You cannot joke about sin. You cannot say, I am without sin. Because as Paul is saying here, you are dead in your trespasses and sin. We are dead in our sin, and that should shake us to the core. To recognize where we are, we may feel alive. We may feel in control. But without Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. J.C. Ryle, the great writer, once said, Christ is never fully valued until sin is clearly seen. And so the more we see our sin, the more precious we should see Jesus. And that God sent his Son into this world to save sinners. He was born into this world. He came to live in this world. And he died in this world for sinners such as we are. The other thing we see here is that grace is the cure. Grace is the cure. What do we need in our lives when we recognize how hopeless we are in our sin? Where do we go? Where can we turn? We begin to think to ourselves, perhaps, God cannot deal with my sin. My sins are too many. My sins are too big. How could he possibly forgive my sin? Well, that's the wonder of his grace. His grace can save any and all who will look to him. He has the power over sin. One of the Psalms says, you know, who can stand before God if she should mark our sins against us? There's no one. But yet with him, the Psalmist says, there is forgiveness. And that's the wonder of his grace. And when you go back to the birth of Jesus and the account of the shepherds and the message that the shepherds had, the angels had for the shepherds. They said in Luke 2 verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. There was good news for the shepherds. And that is the good news of the gospel. And that is the good news that Paul has here. He has good news for the people of Ephesus. He's reminding them that they were dead in their trespasses and sins. But you notice how he uses the words. they're all past tense. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. It's in the past, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. He's speaking about something in the past now. Something's changed. Something changed in their life and in their experience, so that now they're in a new condition. They're in a different condition. And what is it that changed? Well, it's that there's good news. There is still good news. It wasn't just at the birth of Jesus that good news was given. It was in the darkness of the cross, at his crucifixion, that there was still good news. It's in the power of his resurrection that there is good news. And it's the good news of the gospel today as well, that there is good news for us, that there is grace through faith. And the whole situation here is turned on its head in two words, as we have it in English. You're speaking about verse 1 to 3, where he's speaking about what we once were, how we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And then in verse 4, if you look at it, what it says, but God. But God. These two words change everything. Little words, but so important. But God. And this is the story of the Word of God, the Scriptures. Good news. We deserve no mercy. We deserve our sins judged. But God. He showed mercy. It's one of these hard-to-figure-out jigsaw pieces as you're putting things together. How do you understand that? But God showed mercy. God showed mercy to me, a sinner. I cannot comprehend that. I cannot fully understand it. How can we understand it? It's to look to the cross and to look to the love of God, who sent his Son into this world as a Savior. That is the good news of the gospel. He didn't leave us in our sin, even though we deserved it. He didn't abandon his people. And that's the wonder of the Word of God. As you read it from beginning to end, as you start putting all the pieces together, you begin to realize, surely God would have abandoned his people then. When they made a golden calf, in the days of Moses, as they were being led into the promised land, why would God show mercy there? They didn't deserve any mercy, but God showed mercy. When you look at all the times they were turning against him, turning away from him, but God showed mercy. He sent his prophets, he sent the judges, he sent his word, he sent his Son to speak to a people who were disobedient, who were rejecting him, but God showed mercy. That verse in Ephesians 2, verse 4, is a wonderful verse. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. So as you live or have lived your life turning away from God, rejecting God, sinning against God, God has still shown love. From being objects of wrath, dead in our sins, the contrast couldn't be more different. We are made alive with Christ. It's such a wonderful image. So we think we are alive today when we're living our life for ourselves. But it's not life. It's not life to the full, because that's the reason Jesus came into this world. He came that they might have life and have it to the full. That's what he's saying to us today. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, but we can be alive in him. And what does it mean for us today to be alive in Christ? When you look at what was happening in Ephesus And Paul was writing here to Jews and Gentiles, and this was what was uniting them together. Christ was uniting them together. And by his grace, we are equal in God's sight. We are made equal in our standing before him. God sees us through Christ now. He looks past our sin as we have faith in him. We are made alive in Christ. Christ died for our sins. The death that we deserved, he took. So as we think of the wonder of his birth and the amazement of that, as we think of the horror of his death and the cross and the darkness and everything that it brought upon him, he died for our sins. But we are also reminded that we have the hope of the resurrection. In chapter 1, where we read in verse 19, it says that we might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What he has done when he raised Christ from the dead, that power, it is ours through faith in Christ. That is the whole story of the gospel, as the wonder of what it says in John's gospel, when it speaks about being made alive there, Lazarus who was dead, though he died, yet he lived. And that is the wonder of our life of faith in this world. And as we think of a mourning people all over in our community here and other communities today, those who die in the Lord, they do not die but live. And they live eternally. That is the wonder of God's grace to us. And we experience that not through anything we do ourselves, but through the gift of God's grace, through faith. Martin Luther once said, "He averted the judgment of God from us," that's speaking about Christ, "and appeased God's wrath. Grace therefore costs us nothing, but it cost another much to get it for us. Grace was purchased with an incalculable, infinite treasure, the Son of God himself." What a precious gift we have in Christ, the Savior that God sent into this world. The third and final thing we want to see here is, what is the outcome of our faith? Well, the outcome is that we are alive together in Christ. And just go back again to Luke's account of the shepherds. When they saw Jesus, they went to see Jesus. It says in verse 20 of Luke 2, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." They were praising God. They were delighting in God, who had reminded them that they were dead in their trespasses and sins, reminding them of the grace of a Savior sent into this world, and they were made alive as they went away. And the question today is, what are you alive for? Or what are you alive in this Easter? If there's an element of boasting in ourselves, if there's an element of pride in what we have done of ourselves and our own lives, our hope has gone. Because we cannot save ourselves. And that's why Paul is reminding them here so powerfully. It's all of grace. But to know this grace, to come and taste and see the Lord is good, who trusts in him is blessed. To know this is to know life, and life to the full. We praise God for his mercy to us. We praise God that he sent his Son into this world. We praise God that Jesus himself went to the cross for our sins, saying, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." And as he was crucified, as he looked on a people, he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." What love that he went to the cross. And there we see how our redemption was accomplished. He died for sinners. Even in the darkness and the horror of the cross, his will was done so we might live. You get beautiful sunsets. I'm sure you get them here as you do throughout our islands. And you watch the sun going down. And it's especially beautiful when you watch the sun going down over the sea. And it's so bright and red. And you're seeing the sun just descending to the horizon. And it comes to that point and you think to yourself, it's coming into the sea. It's touching the sea. It's going down into the sea. It's disappeared under the sea. But it's never actually the case, is it? The sun remains at the same distance from the world all the time. And what is that distance? 90 million miles. And yet, day after day, and especially as we come into this time of year, we feel the warmth of the rays of the sun that have travelled all that distance, 90 million miles, and we feel that warmth of the sun. There are times when the sun seems to be so far away, and there are other times when it just seems so close. And for us, God can sometimes be like that as well. There are times in our lives maybe when we push him away, we put him at a distance, or we think, well, God can't touch me, God doesn't want me, we put him at a distance. But the reality is God is always near. And there's never a time when he's not speaking to us and ministering to us. And we feel the warmth of his word. We feel the warmth of his spirit. A life-giving spirit. And we pray that today and in these days we will know that life-giving spirit of the power of his word. Enlivening our hearts that we'll be alive in Christ. He is near and he is there for us. Psalm 147, verse 16, it says this: he spreads the snow as wool, the frost like ashes on the land. He hurls forth icy hail like stones. Who can such cold withstand? If you think of the last week and the weather we've had, it seemed like that kind of picture of the psalmist there. Everything's cold, there's hailstones. There seems no hope of warmth or life at times like that. But the psalmist goes on and says this: but when he sends his mighty word and makes the warm winds blow, the frozen waters start to melt and once again to flow. And as we go into this season of the year, the winter will soon be a distant memory. And the warmth of the sun will come again and give life to all around us. But what we need today is the power of God's word to bring life, to melt cold hearts, frozen hearts, and to make things flow again, to give life in the love of Christ. God sent his Son into this world to be with us, to be near us, to bring the warmth of his love into the deadness of our hearts, that we might have life and be made alive in him. The gospel, as someone once said, is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. If you've ever done Christianity Explored, you will recognize these words. There's something satisfying when you do a jigsaw of getting to the last piece and putting it into place and that jigsaw being complete. But I'll tell you this, there's nothing more satisfying in life than God working in your heart and helping you to bring all the pieces together. You'll understand so much, but you still have that one piece missing. will ask Jesus to give you that faith that is the gift of grace, a gift of God, that centerpiece to the puzzle, that you will see Christ's birth, Christ's life, Christ's crucifixion, and Christ's crowning, and be in awe of the beauty of Jesus, that God sent him into this world for sinners such as we are, that we might be saved through his grace and made alive with him for now and for eternity. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We pray, even as the psalmist had, that you would send it forth and cause the icy waters to melt and flow again. We pray for that warmth of your spirit in our hearts and in our lives, in our churches, in our communities, that there will be an enlivening of your spirit in our midst. Lord, we pray that you will begin in our own hearts, the hearts that can be hard and cold towards you, and give us hearts of flesh to love you with all our hearts, to have faith in you through your grace, that great gift towards us. We pray it all in Jesus' name and for his sake and glory. Amen. We're going to sing together in Psalm 9 as we conclude Psalm 9 in the Scottish Psalter, verses 7 to verse 11. Psalm 9 at verse 7, God shall endure for aye he doth, for judgment set his throne, in righteousness to judge the world, justice to give each one. We'll sing from verse 7 to 11, Psalm 9, to God's praise. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.